Welcome to Inspired Living with Mark and Kim. Every Wednesday, Mark and Kim, along with their special guests, will explore thought-provoking topics and ideas that promote creativity, self-help, healing, happiness, and well-being to inspire you on your spiritual journey. Each week, Mark and Kim will discuss different paths to achieving a more spiritual, balanced, happy, and healthy lifestyle. Topics will elevate consciousness and range from metaphysics to the human and social experience, and all things spiritual. Welcome to an inspired community that offers support, encouragement, and new ways of thinking. Mark and Kim are tested, certified, and professional spiritual mediums, metaphysical teachers, healers, and spiritual advisors with their own individual spiritual practices in Seattle, Washington, and Los Angeles, California. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
And good morning, good afternoon, good evening, wherever you may be in this beautiful planet of ours. This is Inspired Living Radio here on the Om Times Radio Network. I am your co-host today, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, coming to you live from my studio here in West Seattle, Washington, the beautiful Pacific Northwest. Today we're going to have a fantastic show talking about how to beat, how to survive cancer. We're going to bring our special guest on here in just a few minutes live from Canada, have her live on the phone here to talk about her new book, The Cancer Conundrum, and we're going to go over some details. But before we jump into the details of this show, I want to start off with a few quotes when it comes to cancer. For you, for those of you listening around the globe, around the planet, thank you so much for tuning into the live broadcast. If you missed the live broadcast, you can always catch us streaming on our podcast shows, encore shows, through Om Times Radio Archives, MarkLanehart.com, iTunes, YouTube, Podbean, SoundCloud, and of course, LoveFirst.info. I'm going to be hosting solo today. My co-host, Kim Falcon, founder of Love First, is off today. So if you want to learn more about the beautiful work she's doing now down in California, she's back in California and all set up, you can go to LoveFirst.info and schedule a reading or hypnotherapy, because we're going to be talking about hypnotherapy as well. And I know Kim's a hypnotherapist, so we're going to be talking about that. But if you want to join the show, we're going to be taking calls here in a little bit. You can also go to our Facebook page, which is called Inspired Living Radio. Ask to join the global community of over 1,000 inspired listeners around the world. And once you join the community, you can post a question there, and I'll do my best to bring it live to air if it's related to today's topic about the cancer conundrum. Or you can call into our live call-in line at 202-570-7057. And we're going to be taking calls. We're going to be talking about how to beat this horrible disease, cancer. I know for those listening today that at some form or way or another, you've been directly impacted by cancer or indirectly impacted by cancer. I know even just within my immediate family, I've lost two members to cancer, one to brain cancer, one to throat cancer. So maybe you're battling cancer right now, and this is an episode that you're going to want to listen to, because we're going to be bringing up some really good points of how to feel stronger, how to beat cancer, how to get past cancer, whether it's positivity of mind, conventional medicine, unconventional medicine, spirituality, meditation, all of that stuff that plays into your attitude and never giving up the fight. I always think of the coach who passed from cancer when he talked about never give up, never give in. And I think of people like Lance Armstrong, where he says we have two options, medically and emotionally: give up or fight like hell. And, you know, when it comes to cancer may have started the fight, but I will finish it. And I know that you can finish it. So we're going to be talking today to our special guest. If you want to work with me, you can find all of my information at MarkLanehart.com. Internet search The Intuitive Prospector. Make sure to get on my Soul Adventures YouTube playlist with all of the episodes of Inspired Living Radio, all of my episodes of Metaphysical Mocha Mondays, which is every Monday morning at 8 a.m. Pacific Standard Time, through my Facebook page on the Intuitive Prospector channel, and my YouTube channel, where it's a inspirational show for the week ahead, followed by the Healing Cafe, where I have direct messages, conversations, readings, spiritual chats with all of my followers, all my, what I like to say, spiritual prospectors in search of their own spiritual goal. So with that, I want to open up the show. Again, the positive affirmation is exactly what I was just talking about. You've been assigned this mountain to show others it can be moved. So if you're battling cancer right now, if you've beat cancer and you are a survivor, you know somebody that's going through cancer, that's your positive mantra for this month. You have been assigned this mountain to show others it can be moved, because when you have a positive mindset, you believe in yourself, and you don't give up, you can move mountains and you can beat this thing we call cancer. And I hope you one day within the next few years will really start to eradicate and take cancer out of our society and have a cure just like they had a cure for polio. So with that, want to read a little bit about background about our special guest today coming in live from Canada. Louise Evans, she has many certifications, so I'll let her talk about her four certifications that she has. She's worked as a hypnotherapist, counselor in the private practice for over 20 years. She has a few offices in BC, in Canada, and she is also a British dual citizen and has lived, and she's lived in Canada since 1979. Originally from Scotland, she graduated with a BA degree and teaching certificate, and arriving in Canada, taught sciences at the secondary level and for several years. So she's got the teaching mind, she has the background of certifications, she's got a teaching certification, she's got a BA, she's got a medical degree. Like I said, she's got a lot of degrees, so she's got a lot of wisdom and a lot of things to talk to us today about how to get through this cancer conundrum. We're going to be talking about her book on how to, what cancer conundrum is. She obtained her master's in counseling psychology at UBC and a master clinical hypnotherapist at the Pacific Institute of Advanced Hypnotherapy. She is trained with some of the best teachers in the world and continues to attend workshops and lectures. And I think that's important, Luis, that you put that in there, that even though you have all this training and you've been doing the work for 20 plus years, life never stops teaching us. We're always about learning, and the journey is always about continuing to learn, to transform, and continue to attend workshops, even as professionals, and lectures, to keep finding that diamond within. Hypnotherapy also helps her when presenting in front of large audience. Louise Evans has been cancer-free since 2015 and lives with her husband in Vancouver. Congratulations on being a survivor and beating this since 2015. And I just want to read a topic a little bit from the book about cancer and what cancer has taught Louise in writing this book and getting into more detail. Cancer taught me how to slow down and appreciate what I have. I made it very clear life is a gift and should not be taken for granted. Nearly dying prompted me to fully live. I hope that on reading my book, you will explore hypnotherapy and other treatments that help me and may help you as well to become mentally and physically stronger and capable of truly enjoying life. Louise Evans, welcome to Inspired Living Radio, my friend. How are you?
Fine. Thank you, Mark, for that lovely introduction there. And yes, you're right. I'm a survivor of cancer, and really, I think my belief in spirit, in God, and also my techniques as a counselor and hypnotherapist have really helped me. To just give you some background, I was born in Scotland into a family where my mother and my grandmother believed in a spirit world. So although we were sent to church and believed in God, we also believed in the spiritual realm. And I remember my first spiritual experience was when I was about 13. My grandfather had died 3 years previously, and we'd been very close. And 3 years later, I went to bed. I didn't know he died in that night. I fell asleep, and I had a dream in which there was a boat. And I couldn't see my grandfather, but the waters were very stormy. And I heard his voice, and he said, "Everything's going to be fine. I'm taking you to a good place." And eventually the boat arrived to a beautiful ocean with mountains in the background and a helicopter flying silently above. And he said, "You're here." So when I wakened up in the morning and told my mother, she burst into tears because she said that he had died 3 years previously on that very night. So that was my first introduction to sort of spirit communicating with me initially. And then the other thing was when I was about age 18, my mother had told me all about spiritual churches. And so what I did was I used to work and do temporary work during the university holidays in London. We got long mm-hmm. holidays. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And so I was able to work then and travel in the summer. So I went to one of these spiritual churches, and the year before I'd been in a car crash where my vertebra was crushed. And so I had to wear a back brace, but nobody could see this. It was hidden under my clothes. And so as I was getting off the tube, someone tried to grab my purse, and I grabbed it back, but I began to fall, losing my balance between the train and the platform. Someone grabbed me. And when I turned around to thank them, nobody acknowledged that. They all wanted to get off the train. So I got off the train, went to the spiritual church, and one of the mediums at that time said, on the way here tonight, you were almost hurt, but your grandfather intervened. So my belief in spirit was evolving all the time, and this really helped me in my fight with cancer. Mm-hmm. When I was 21, my friends, we all decided to spend one last summer together after graduating. So we went to Shetland. And in Shetland, we all worked in a fish factory. We all smelled terrible. But one of the guys came up to me and he said to me, have you met Frank? And I said, no. He said, well, Frank Watt is a really good reader. Why don't you talk to him? So my friend and I went round one night and Frank had a glass of water. He took an egg. He cracked the egg in the water and we put our hand over the glass and he began to read to us. And he told us of different things and we wrote them down. And during the reading, he described an incident, a dangerous place that I would be. And he said he couldn't see what the danger was, but that he could also see a building with a red cross and that a person called Ian McGregor would be visiting me shortly. So anyway, a few days later, I went off with my friend traveling in Shetland and we were in the building that Frank had described. And I said to Helen, I think there's going to be something bad happening. But nothing happened. We got in the car. There was a car crash. My vertebra was crushed. I ended up in a hospital with a Red Cross, and the first person to visit me was Frank. So his predictions over the years were very accurate, and one of his predictions was that I would lead a long and healthy life until near the end. So I really believed that. But I know that my faith in spirit has helped me tremendously through my fight with cancer.
Yeah, very much so. I'm just curious, what the egg in the water, what does that metaphysically, what does that do? Does that enhance the energy? Or I've never heard of that before.
Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to ask Frank why he did that. I really don't know why he did that, but it is interesting. And I don't think he reads as much anymore, but I think he still uses that technique.
Yeah, I'll have to research that because I myself am a British trained medium, so I understand the spiritual path myself, going to England every year to study at Arthur Findlay College. I've been going for almost 7 years now, and come to find out, my DNA, I just had my DNA done, and my DNA takes me right down into England, London. I've got cousins reaching out to me that I never even knew I had. So I definitely resonate with London and love the country and love the spiritual churches. I've dabbled in some of the spiritual churches, and he's probably not doing the work as much because it does take a toll after time, especially when you work with the spirit world and energy. And I'm glad that you're... Grandpa interceded to help you on the tube during that time because you would have never written the book, right? If it would have gone, if you would have interceded. And so we're going to be talking, we're going to be going to our first break here in just a few minutes. But your book is called The Cancer Conundrum and Ways of Dealing with It. And we're going to talk about using hypnotherapy. We're going to talk about spiritualism. And we're going to talk about both conventional and unconventional treatments to help you feel stronger. That's actually the title of the book. And if you want to get in contact with Louise, you can go to louiseevans.com. You can also find her at her therapy at sparkhypnotherapy.com. And you're in Canada, but I was doing a really poor job of pronouncing the name of actually where you live. How do you pronounce that?
New Westminster, which is near Vancouver, a suburb of Vancouver.
Okay. Yeah, I definitely know where that is. I was just up in a church demming up there last month, actually. But Kitsilano in Metro?
Oh, Kitsilano.
Kitsilano
is where one of my offices, yes.
Okay,
yes,
but that's
and
in
the
suburbs.
Other offices at Metrotown.
Okay, suburbs of Vancouver?
That's right.
Okay, yeah, so if people want to get in touch with you directly, again, go to louiseevans.com. You can also find her books, her book on all the major outlets, and probably I just point people to your website if they want to schedule a session with you or get in contact with you. And again, if you go to our Facebook page, which is Inspired Living Radio, all of Louise's information is posted, including the links, including how to get in contact with her. And we're going to, before we go to our first break, I want to talk about you got interested in spiritualism. You started to see some of the signs, symbols, synergy, and synchronistic events of what I teach on when it comes to spiritualism. I, the same way, was very much a skeptic and a doubter based on being raised Catholic, my religious beliefs. And over the course of time, I became a full believer at actually where I'm doing this work, and you find me here on a radio show talking about spiritualism. But what was really the first, besides the interaction of, you know, connecting with your grandpa, Did you have like this calling, this in, I call it like the whispers of your heart, that God spark within? Did you just have something that was calling you, something bigger than what religion was telling you? I'm just curious. How did you find that interest
Yes,
in spiritualism,
definitely.
that initial spark?
Yes, no, I agree. I found that to belong to a specific religion for me was limiting, and the spiritualism sort of enhanced everything. And so I was able to my beliefs just fit with it, Mark. You know, everything, I believe in equality of all people.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in compassion. And
Mm-hmm.
so, yes, it was the one belief system that I could really relate to. It's not limiting. I think that's the thing about it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And
It's
what, yeah. And with me, with the cancer conundrum, when I say this, I don't know if I actually said this in the book, I always had a sort of a feeling of being slightly lonely, despite the fact that I had family, friends, children,
yeah.
et
cetera. Yep.
But when I had the cancer, then my connection with spirit grew and that loneliness completely disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quite interesting because the cancer conundrum, the reason I wrote the book, I actually started to journal when I had the diagnosis given to me. And
mm-hmm.
as I was journaling, I thought, this is therapeutic. This helps me. And then I thought, well, maybe the techniques that I use as a counselor and a hypnotherapist, that can also help me, but it can help other people too. So I began to think of writing the book at that time. And basically, I also got, once I was given the all clear from the cancer, I developed a group. And the group
mm-hmm.
had cancer people, people who had survived, people who were fighting cancer. And I asked them if they too would actually tell me how they had fought the disease, how they had coped with it or were coping
yeah.
with the disease. And so that's really, Mark, how it came into being.
Well, when we come back from our first break, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about these inspirational stories. And again, you have to fight through some of those bad days to earn the best days of your life, right? So we'll be back here in 2 minutes with our very special guest today, Louise Evans, talking about her new book, The Cancer Conundrum, here on Inspired Living Radio. You are the inspired and the inspiration.
The future of internet radio is here. Om Times Radio, IOM FM. Host your show on IOM FM, the radio network of Om Times Media, one of the more recognized brand names in the conscious community, and is backed by the extensive marketing reach of Om Times. Hosting a show on IOM FM immediately connects you with our extensive, dedicated community. Are you seeking answers to life questions? Would you like to connect to a departed loved one? Are you suffering from pain, stress, or anxiety? Kimberly Thalkin is a tested, certified, and professional psychic, spiritual medium, energy healer, hypnotherapist, and the founder of Love First, where life transformations happen. Love First services support, guide, and empower individuals by connecting them to their highest potential to live a healthier, joyful, and meaningful life that's filled with purpose. All services can be done by phone, Skype, or in person in Encino, California. Please visit lovefirst.info. That's LoveFirst.info for more information.
When you're looking for insight and additional tools to living your most elevated life, there's no better place to turn than Intuitive Alchemy Radio. Join me, Laura Brown, each Wednesday at 4 p.m. Eastern for inspiring conversations, live on-the-air readings, and tools to help you build your most aligned, most abundant, and most delicious life.
Death Row Dogs Rescue is a 100% all-volunteer, no-kill rescue 501c3 nonprofit organization. We are run solely by volunteers who dedicate their time and resources for the past 30 years to rescuing homeless pets from the streets in Los Angeles and surrounding areas, and from city and county animal shelters who are on death row, often moments away from being euthanized. We provide housing, medical care, and training to these neglected, abused, and often severely injured animals. Donate now, save a life, and allow these beautiful dogs to experience a home life filled with love. All donations are greatly appreciated and are tax deductible. Please visit www.deathrowdogsrescue.com to see some of our amazing dogs who need homes. Do not breed or buy. Make adoption your first option.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio with Mark and Kim here on the Om Times Radio Network. I am your co-host today, Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, talking with our very special guest live from Canada, Louise Evans, talking about her book, Cancer Conundrum. And one of the things I just want to say is, dear Cancer, thank you for making me stop and listen and remember what's truly important. You can go now. And that's what, we're going to be talking about, how we address cancer, how we beat cancer. Your illness does not define your strength, and courage does, because it does take a lot of courage to step into this on the mental, emotional, physical, and spiritual aspects. So before the break there, Louise, we were talking about the cancer patient group that you were participating in and talking about some of their stories and some of them, how they found some solace and comfort as they started to embrace some unconventional treatments that offer benefits. Let's talk about that. Let's talk about the diagnosis. Let's talk about your chapters of Just Be Positive, the treatment, the anxiety and depression that comes with that, and then also the experience with John of God.
Okay, super. All right, well, I'll give you basically, when I was sick myself, I had always expected to be healthy because Frank had been very accurate in all his predictions. And saying I would live a long and healthy life, I thought I would be healthy till the age of 80, till near the end. But of course, I'm still alive. So Frank is great. I hope he's right. But basically, when I became sick, it was a real surprise to me because I had been working two jobs at that time. I was working in a school as a school counselor, and I was also working in my office too. And occasionally I had this numbness in my arm, and the tests had shown that there was nothing wrong with me. It was migraine, the doctor said, so I wasn't too bothered. But in the spring of 2014, the numbness persisted for 12 days. So I was really worried, went to the doctor, and she checked me, and she said to me, do you do breast exams, self-breast exams? I said, no, I don't. She said, do you do mammograms? I said, no, they're uncomfortable. That's a big mistake for listeners out there. We should all do mammograms. Mm-hmm. And so basically, yeah, she said she found a lump, and I was just shocked, okay? So the next thing is, when you get a diagnosis like that, everything happens really quickly. In my case, I was sent down to the ultrasound room. I had a mammogram immediately, and that was followed by a biopsy. So it was all done at top speed. And I remember waiting in the doctor's office to see the results of the biopsy and being hardly able to breathe at that moment. So I think all the people out there that are listening know the feeling. You're hoping and hoping that it's not cancer. And when you get the diagnosis that it is cancer, it's a real sickly feeling. So once I'd been given that diagnosis, then I began to really need some help. And at that time, I had a friend, an intuitive healer called Robin Goldfarb. And Robin got a message through her meditation from my mum. And the message, I'll read a little bit to you, Mark. It says, your mother says you need to control your thoughts. You need to stop jumping so far ahead with crazy ideas and really be in the moment, because this is such a big lesson you're going through. Mm-hmm. It's one of the biggest challenges of your life. And she goes on to say that you will get through this challenge. You'll get beyond this challenge. And then she said, this disease is a true gift. Now, that was really important for me, because up mm-hmm. to that point, I had not thought of cancer as a gift. I had thought of everything that cancer was taking away from me. But in actual fact, when you look at it, the cancer was giving me many things. It was giving me the ability to slow down. For the first time in my life, and I'm sure lots of people out there can relate, we get into really busy lives. We're all working, bringing up children, families, etc. So slowing down was a great thing for me. Then it gave me time to reflect. And again, not many people get that chance to objectively stand back, look at your life, think of what you've done and look at what you would hope to do in the future. Mm-hmm. And as I said, my sort of connection with spirit really increased at that time. And then I also felt appreciated by the people around me, and I appreciated them. So I don't know about you, Mark, but I tend to set goals, work towards the goal. Mm-hmm. And when I get it, I just keep going instead of appreciating what I have, right?
Exactly.
And then Cancer also, sorry?
Oh, no, I'm just agreeing with you. I'm just saying exactly. Goal setting is a big, big part of it as well.
Yeah, for sure. And then also I had time to look at wanting to do the things that I'd never done. And I thought, gosh, this is an opportunity. If I survive this cancer, then I'm going to do it. Now, some of my clients, they tell me, I don't like to plan, because if I plan and it doesn't work, then I'm disappointed. So that's fair enough. We're all different. We all have to address cancer in different mm-hmm. ways. Mm-hmm. But so then basically I thought, if when you get a diagnosis of cancer, the first thing people say to you is be positive, think positive. And Mark, that's really hard to do when you're faced with a potentially threatening life disease, right? The last thing you feel like doing is being positive. But by turning everything around and reframing it, I really believe that we can be helped. And by turning through meditation to spirit too, I think we can also be helped. I know that my publisher, Mike Davis of Manor House, I said to him, I want to call this book The Gift. And he said, oh, no, I don't want you to call it that, because he didn't see it as a gift. And so we bandied around lots of different titles. And I then thought of The Silver Lining, but there are so many books out there with the title The Silver Lining. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So then Mike himself actually said, why don't we try The Cancer Conundrum? And I liked that alliteration, but more so I liked the meaning of it. Mm-hmm. Because if you think of it, when you get a diagnosis of cancer, the first thing is you have to decide, am I going to follow conventional treatment, which is usually surgery, chemotherapy, and radiation? Or am I going to go to alternative treatments? Or am I going to do a combination of a conventional and complementary? So it's a very confusing and difficult time. That was, and conundrum, of course, means a confusing and difficult problem. And
it's a conundrum.
True. So anyway, that was the first one. And then when you're given this extra time to live, you really want to make the most of it. So again, the decision of how to use that time. And there are two things. I think there's the drive to really utilize it and enjoy it. But I feel that most of us as cancer survivors, we want to give back in some way. So that was really important for me. I found too that apart from meditation mm-hmm. for me was big, and prayer, mm-hmm. I also used a technique called desensitization. Have you heard of that?
I have not.
It's a technique.
Yeah, please share.
No. Yeah. Okay. It's just a technique where you take a mirror. So in my case, I was bald with the chemotherapy. The hair had fallen out and I found it repulsive to look at myself. So in order to begin to accept the changes in my own external body, I took a little mirror and I would look in this mirror every night for a short time until I could eventually again look at myself in the mirror. And I did the same with the breast, because the breast is disfigured after the mm-hmm. surgery. Mm-hmm. And so again, I had an aversion to what was happening. So I found desensitization very helpful. And another technique that I'd like to share with people out there is Gestalt technique of talking to your body parts. So if you have suppressed emotion, sometimes by talking to your body and allowing the parts to talk back, mm-hmm. then you can release that emotion. So for example, I'd have a discussion with my breast. I'd say something like, I'm really sorry. I think I was so stressed, I overworked, I'm partly to blame for causing this cancer. And then I'd give the breast a voice and it would say back something reassuring, like, don't blame yourself. Nobody knows the causes of cancer. We'll work together as a team. So that was another technique that I found really helpful. And I wanted to share those with readers as well. But hypnotherapy was, I think, the most important for me, apart from my belief in spirit, my faith. With the hypnotherapy, while I was ill, especially when I had chemotherapy, for me, I couldn't move around a lot at periods of time with the chemotherapy. So I was bedridden for a short, maybe a day or two, every so often. And I then would take a script called an induction, which had been written by another hypnotherapist. I would read it out aloud and I would record it on my cell phone. So when I was at my weakest, I could listen to this and I found it really helpful, really healing, because I was able to address things like fear and anxiety. I was a bit able to sort of prep myself before the treatments that were going to come, and also to deal with general healing. So I believe that people can not always afford therapy. They also cannot always have the energy to go in to see a therapist. So I think that I've actually dedicated 4 chapters in the book to hypnotic inductions that I wrote, so that people, if they like them, can record them in their cell phones and utilize them. I think that will be helpful. The major challenges that I got, I had to inject myself for the period of about a month in my stomach. And I'm sure, like other people, people don't want to prod themselves with needles. And so I asked my husband if he would at least put the needle in my stomach, and then I would maybe press the plunger. So he agreed, and he did it so well that I didn't feel a thing. And then I said, okay, Roy, let me just take the plunger. So I took the plunger, pushed it down, and the moment I pushed it down, there was liquid bubbling on the surface of my skin. My husband had been so gentle, he hadn't even penetrated the skin. And so other challenges that other people will get is losing our hair. I think we're very vain as females. We really like our hair. And for me, luckily I had the extended medical, so I could buy a wig and wear a wig as well, which was a great thing. The only trouble with a wig, of course, is I have a machine called a Hypnocom in my hypnotherapy office. And this is a machine that cuts out noise. So while I was doing hypnosis with some of my clients, I had to put the headphones on and my wig began to come off. And then I couldn't hear through the headphones. So I had to put it round my neck and talk into the microphone. So these were some of the challenges I faced. My visit to John of God was really interesting. I know he's a controversial figure now, but in 2014, he wasn't. And I had seen a DVD about John of God. And I don't know if some of the listeners are aware, but he was an intuitive healer, a channeling medium in Brazil. And he was actually performing psychic surgeries and physical surgeries without anesthetic. So years before I ever got cancer, I saw this video and it was very interesting. And then a few years later, when I developed the cancer, I bumped into another counselor called Peggy, and Peggy was talking about energy healing. And she said to me, I'm an energy healer. I said, how do you do that? She said, if you've got a few minutes, I'll show you. So Peggy turned to me and she said, I'll just take away that pain in your neck and your shoulders. And I was really surprised because I didn't know anybody was aware that I had any pain in my shoulders. It was just stress that day. So I said, okay. And Peggy wove around my body. And she pulled the pain out of my body. And then she had to go and work. And she said to me, she was leaving, my gifts have increased since I've seen John of God. So I was really pleased, right? I thought, here's someone else that likes John of God. And I guess the decision to go to John of God occurred when one of my other friends went to see him. She's very sensitive to energy. And when he walked into the great hall, her body literally vibrated and she almost passed out. So by this time, in 2015, I'd been given the all clear. I was cancer free. But of course, as anybody knows, you still worry. You want to be cancer free forever.
Yeah, forever. Yeah.
So I decided, yeah, for sure. So I decided that I would go to see John of God. So in December of that year, we went to Abidjania. And it's a little village about an hour and a half's drive from Brasilia. And it was really interesting, even being in the hotel, because there were people there that had been to see him previously. And one man told me that he had been in a wheelchair a few years before. His wife had persuaded him to go and see John. And he thought, well, it's pointless. He didn't believe, but he went anyway. And he was able to get out of the wheelchair afterwards. And when he was in the hotel with us, he was still walking. And he said to us that he came back to see this healer because it made him feel so good. Anyway, I know that one evening, one of the women in the hotel, she told me that her husband, she was so worried about him. He was so sick. She was afraid she was going to lose him. And so our leader, Heather Cumming, took this old man to see John of God privately that night. And the next day he described what happened. He said that his insides were filled like washboards and they moved up and down violently while he was being healed. And afterwards he felt good. And the next morning he was with us at the Christmas party in Abidjan there. So in other words, I saw miracles happening in front of my eyes. When I went to see John, I had to go, you all wore white in those days, and you had to go to the great hall, the casa, and sit down and wait for your turn. And it was interesting because I watched him. There was a woman in front of me standing against the wall. And John walked up to her and he moved his hand in a circular direction, energetically anesthetizing her, I guess. And then he took what looked like huge forceps, pushed them down her nose, turned them, and she squirmed, but she didn't cry out in pain. Then he walked over to another fellow who was sitting in a wheelchair. He took a kitchen knife, and I knew from the DVD that he was going to almost make the guy's eye bulge out in his cheek and then take this knife and scrape it. So I didn't want to watch. But these things were happening. Everybody was dressed in white because all of the spirits, the entities of light that work in the casa, can see the body's hologram that way. And so eventually John sat down. People, there must have been 800 to about 1,000 people in the casa that day. They were waiting patiently for their turn. And I got bored. After about an hour I was sitting, I was lucky to be seated. And I thought, Laurie was so melodramatic. There's nothing supernatural happening here. And at that moment, white orbs rushed at my face. They literally moved inside my eyes, moved into my body, and the pain was blinding. I felt great pressure in my head, my neck, my shoulders. I began to sweat, and I touched the leader, and I said, Heather, I'm going to pass out. And she put me in the wheelchair and she rushed me up to John of God, past all the people. And she talked to him. He talked to her in Portuguese. And then I was outside in the shade again. And so I felt that that miracle, the entities of light, were already helping and working with me. I think what was funny, Mark, when you went to the hotel, they asked you to list three things that you wanted. And I thought it's like giving a shopping list to spirit for healing.
Yeah, it's setting that intention. So we're going to go to our second break here, but we'll be back here in 2 minutes. But again, if you want to unlock the secrets of the universe, you think in terms of energy, frequency, and vibration. So we're going to be back here in 2 minutes on Inspired Living Radio. Stay positive, stay brave, stay focused, stay fighting, stay strong, beat cancer.
Edge of Conscious Radio, Om Times Radio, IOM FM.
Have you wondered how to change your love paradigm? The secret key is finding a love partnership, not just a regular connection. How do you find these? Through conscious relationships. Ascending Hearts Dating is a dating site for people like you that believes in second chances and a different type of spiritual connection. Try Ascending Hearts for free at ascendinghearts.com and change your love paradigm. Ascending Hearts, the premier dating community for the spiritually awake.
One planet, 7.3 billion people, only one you. Life offers us many opportunities and learning experiences. Are you ready to explore and discover this beautiful planet, the life and energy all around us, the spiritual world, and what is unseen, along with your own personal soul adventure? Mark Lanehart, the Intuitive Prospector, is the spiritual connection you have been prospecting for. Internationally known as a tested and professional clairvoyant medium and spiritual advisor, Mark's work as a metaphysical teacher, medical instructor, radio show host, inspirational writer, and hiking guide are here to help you on a journey of self-discovery, healing, inspiration, education, and a whole lot of spiritual awesomeness. Dare to dream. Dare to explore. Dare to live. For more information on Mark's spiritual practice in Seattle, Washington, please visit marklanehart.com or internet search The Intuitive Prospector.
My name is Victor Furman. Some call me The Voice. I've always been fascinated with human nature, spirituality, science, and the crossroads at which they meet. Join me Wednesdays at 8 p.m. Eastern on Om Times Radio, and we'll explore these topics and so much more on Destination Unlimited.
Opiates has taken everything and everyone I've ever loved away from me. Everything.
I blew my ankle out and I got prescribed pain pills by my doctor.
If making my detox public is going to help somebody, I'm all for it. I just wish I would have had a warning.
Opioid dependence can happen after just 5 days. Know the truth, spread the truth. A message from Truth, the Ad Council, and ONDCP.
And welcome back to Inspired Living Radio. Our special guest today, Louise Evans, talking about her new book, The Cancer Conundrum. And Louise, thank you for sharing that journey of your treatment, how to be positive, the introduction to John of God and setting the intentions. And before that last break of ours, I always remind people that setting intentions is very, very important. You talked about making like a shopping list, because when you set intentions, energy follows our intentions. And, you know, when you think of wanting to connect to the universe, because I found that the universe doesn't actually speak English or Italian or Spanish. It actually speaks in terms of energy, frequency, vibration, whether that's healing, whether that's meditation, prayer is thought going out. Meditation is listening back. And just for our listeners out there, I just want to remind people, you know, both Luis as a cancer survivor and myself as being associated with losing my brother to brain cancer, when someone has cancer, the whole family and everyone who loves them does too. And I just want to remind people of that when they're going through their cancer treatments, you know, surround your loved ones, surround your friends, your coworkers, and help them through this journey, because you never know how strong you are until being strong is the only choice you have, right? Luis, and you had talked about Robin. Mm-hmm. I want to give a inspired listening shout out to Robin. I know Robin very well. And she's my sister from another mister, so we just want to say hi to Robin up in Canada as well. But let's continue this journey, because this show goes by so very quick. Let's talk about moving forward. Let's talk about these inductions that you talked about for fear and anxiety, inductions during treatment, inductions for healing, and inductions to cope with depression, because I think those are very important topics for our inspired listeners to be able to hear, and what your personal journey was and how you went through all of that.
Yes, that's true. Well, I found that fear and anxiety, Mark, are the most important parts, because everybody's afraid of dying. And then with your treatments too, you're very anxious. Some of my clients say that they like to read up and research a lot of information before the treatment. Others, even myself, I didn't want to know too much, but I wanted to set a positive mindset. And so I would, in the inductions I use, the first part of the induction is usually getting you into a relaxed state physically and mentally. Then there's a deepening, so that you're in a deeper state of trance, so that you're more able to accept the suggestions. And the healing suggestions, of course, with fear and anxiety, would be to calm yourself, to stop the worried thoughts, and to manifest what you want, that positive outcome. So these were the main things that I did. And I know, for example, when I had to lie in a cast and not move for the radiation treatment, I was really nervous that I would move. And so by simply using the induction that I made up for myself, I was able to not move at all. And the radiation treatment was great. Depression is another thing, because not only, as you said, Mark, your family are so affected by it too. You know, it's not just the person who has cancer, but members of the family can become depressed, as can the cancer victim. And some cancer survivors find they're depressed initially when they get the diagnosis, some during treatment, some even when they're given the all clear, and some years later. And so I think if you waken up and you feel flat, you feel that, you know, you don't have the joie de vivre anymore, that's the time. If it's really bad, of course, you would consult a professional. But if it's mild, you could use the hypnotic inductions to help yourself too. With the hypnosis, I also used past life. And what happened was 20 years ago, this woman came into my office and she said to me, I have a phobia. I want you to cure it. So I regressed her to the origin of the problem. And I thought she was going to go into a recent, her recent life. Once she was under, I told her that she would be able to resolve the phobia. And then when she came out of trance, she looked at me and she said, well, I went all the way back to a past life. I found the origin and now I'm phobia free. So I thought, well, this is great. You know, she's very optimistic. We'll see. And to be honest, 20 years later, she still remains phobia free. So that was my first introduction to past life. And initially, I was not, I was critical. I didn't know if I believed it, but I thought it has therapeutic value.
Sure,
but
sure.
Now, after doing so many, yeah, after doing so many past lives, I truly realized that we do go on. And interestingly enough, we also have that space of time between the end of one reincarnation and the beginning of another, the interlife. And so I thought it would really be helpful to put in the book the experience, little experience excerpts, of many of my clients who had gone through the interlife while under hypnosis. And what I found was it was always peaceful. It was always pleasant. And people didn't want to come out of trance. It was so nice. Also, they didn't want me to bother them with questions while they were in the interlife. They were in such a deep, lovely, peaceful trance. So sometimes when they came out of trance, I had to ask them immediately, what was going on? What did you see? What happened? And people have different interlives and different past lives, but the theme through all of the interlives is that lovely, pleasant feeling. You know, it's really nice. And so basically, I could read a little bit of what I'll do in a second. One of my clients in my cancer group, Deborah, she had a past life that was relevant to the cancer theme. And so with her past life, if we have time, I might read it in a minute. I'd like to just tell you about the group, actually, Mark, that I do with the hypnotherapy.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so once I was given the all clear, I advertised for to run a hypnotherapy group for cancer people. And I expected that the group would come, then we'd do 6 weeks, I'd have a pause, and I'd advertise, and a second group would come, and so on. So I thought, I'll use the same material many times. However, when I got the second group, they said they would like to continue with me. And so we've been going strong now for about 4 years. And there are four main people in the group. Other people have come and gone, but these four mm-hmm. people have remained. Mm-hmm. And they all used different techniques. So Deborah, one of the people in the group, she's in her 50s. She was diagnosed with breast cancer. And the oncologist said to her, I want you really to have a mastectomy, chemotherapy, radiation. And Deborah had a stage 2 cancer. And she said, no, no, no. This was way too invasive for her. So she took her time. She found a different oncologist. And she went for a partial mastectomy, a lumpectomy. And then she didn't have any chemotherapy or any radiation. Instead, she went on an alkaline diet. She sort of became vegan. And she went in for a thing called ozone therapy. So ozone is based on the premise that oxygen, a cancer can't survive, it can't really grow in oxygen. And so she had her body literally flooded with this ozone, and she believed that that helped her. The thing about all treatments, I'd say to everybody out there, is research whatever treatments you choose, please research them well. And make sure with everything that you know what you're getting into.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Deborah's doing very well. She said she also went for massage therapy. And she said to me that she would advise people to slow down, not to panic, and to make sure that whatever the oncologist tells you fits with your own values. So she was a stage 2. She had the luxury of that. Some people who are given a diagnosis that's more advanced, they might feel more pressure to make a decision. But it's important that it fits with your own value system too. And in Vancouver, I don't know about down in Seattle there, but we have a thing called an organization called Inspire Health. And Deborah found this organization. It's a nonprofit. And she said that they gave her free exercise classes, nutritional information, free counseling, free support. So she really recommends that for people. And I guess you have things like that in Seattle too, maybe.
Oh, I was going to say, yeah, I think with the universal health care, I think you guys have a little bit more options than we do right now, but I'm sure there's something very similar here in Seattle.
Yeah. Okay. And Ivy's another one. She had breast cancer. She was diagnosed with it, and she followed, in her case, she followed the conventional treatments, and she was then cancer-free for 6 years. Now, after 6 years, the cancer metastasized into her bones. And so she now has it back again. However, she decided that she would volunteer for a trial drug program. And she said to me, I want to help further research and I want to help future cancer patients. And the great news is that Ivy, although she has tumors on her spine, is completely pain-free. She's very optimistic and she's surviving well. This drug has literally, it's almost like it's in remission. It's her cancer's in a holding pattern. So I guess I'm saying to people out there, even when the diagnosis seems really difficult to take, you can keep going. And Ivy's always working on her hypnotherapy, and she believes in God and keeps herself very, very busy. And she thinks that family support is important as well. I've got two others I'll mention. Linda, she was the same as Ivy. She followed conventional treatments in the beginning. And then 6 years later, strange that it's the 6 years for both of them in that case, the cancer came back, metastasizing to her bones. But she decided when they wanted to put her on trial drugs that she would try. Didn't work for her. And so she decided to do a thing called a hyperthermia machine. And this particular machine, the one she uses, is from Germany. And the naturopath runs this machine and it gives high heat to the tumors near the skin surface. And she really likes this kind of treatment. And she found an organization up in Vancouver called Kalanish. And Kalanish work with cancer people and do lots of retreats. And then the only male in the group is Alex. He's a stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. And he's had stem cell transplant and he's doing really well at the moment. He says he's feeling so well, he's even able to play his tennis, which he loves. And I guess the really good, although I don't know Judy through my cancer group, but my daughter worked with her. She has been 28 years clear. She had breast cancer, went through the traditional treatment. Then she took the hormone therapy pill for 5 years, tamoxifen. And she, for 26 years, no cancer. And just latterly now, 2 years ago, it came back in the other breast. She had it removed and she's still cancer free. So that's wonderful, right?
It is.
Yeah, really good. And then with my time, what I decided was in the group, by the way, what we do is we talk about, we have a sort of round robin. Everybody shares how they're feeling health wise, emotionally. And then I do a hypnotherapy induction for them and they record it on their cell phones. And so we do that. Anyway, what I wanted to do then, Mark, after I'd been given this diagnosis of cancer for myself, was to join a developmental circle and develop my own intuition. And so you were saying to me, why did I believe in spiritualism? And I guess it's because you feel intuitively and you feel energetically too, right? So I enjoyed that at the spiritual church. And then I joined a healing touch group. I did that as well. And then for fun, I did stage hypnosis. I'm not going to do that with my clients, but I wondered what the difference would be between a stage hypnosis language, what they do, and between therapeutic hypnosis. And I found that the inductions, the basic means of getting people into trance, is similar. But obviously, after that, one is for entertainment and one is for therapy. And like you, I went to the Arthur Finley School just this summer here. And I learned how to do spiritual healing, which was just a wonderful experience too. And then with the time I've been given, I wanted to travel as well. So, you know, I've done some traveling. But I just like to say to people out, I just like to say to people out there, family and friends, it's wonderful that you're supporting the people that you love. And for all of the cancer people out there, remember, use whatever tools you can to survive, okay, because we are survivors.
Yeah, exactly. So, Louise, thanks so much for being on Inspired Living today. Again, if you want to work with Louise up in Vancouver, louiseevans.com, and check out her new book, The Cancer Conundrum. It's been a pleasure and honor talking with you today. And just for our Inspired listeners out there, no matter how good or bad you think your life is, wake up each day and be thankful. Someone somewhere else is fighting to survive. And again, check out Louise's book, The Cancer Conundrum. We'll be back next Wisdom Wednesday at 12 p.m. Pacific, 3 p.m. Eastern, here on the Om Times Radio Network. Until our next soul adventure together, be kind, be caring, be compassionate. Dare to dream, dare to explore, and dare to live. Namaste.